The sun blazes down. A heat haze hangs over suburban London. Cars speed along a dual carriageway beside a field where the grass is scorched and dry. In a corner of the field is a neglected playground.
I don't know about you, it's just too hot today, isn't it? And it's going to get even worse. Temperatures up in the mid-30s Celsius. That's the mid-90s Fahrenheit tomorrow, maybe even hitting 100. So please...
A teenage boy, Harry Potter, walks across the field in the playground. A boy gets off the roundabout.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
Hey, I'll make you your favourite.
Everyone leaves. Harry sits on a swing, lost in thought. He sees his cousin Dudley with his gang.
Hey, Big D. Beat up another 10-year-old?
This one deserved it.
Yeah.
5 against 1. Very brave.
Well, you're one to talk. Moaning in your sleep every night. At least I'm not afraid of my pillow. Don't kill Cedric. Who's Cedric? Your boyfriend?
Shut up.
He's going to kill me, Mum! Where is your mum? Where is your mum, Potter? Is she dead? Is she dead? Is she dead, Potter?
Harry pulls out his wand. He holds it at Dudley's throat. The sky grows dark. Heavy storm clouds roll overhead, blotting out the sun. A strong wind rises.
What's going on?
What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
Get out of here, Dudley. Come on, Dudley.
The gang runs off. Dudley and Harry look up as the sky grows even darker. The powerful wind blows flurries of waste paper across the playground. They run for shelter as the storm breaks and heavy rain begins to fall. Harry leads the way along a rutted cart track. Dudley is overweight and finds it hard to keep up. Soaked to the skin, they find shelter in a long tunnel under the road. They stop to catch their breath. Ahead of them, the grimy underpass is dimly lit by yellow lamps reflected in the puddles of water underfoot. The faulty lamps flicker and fizz, throwing an eerie yellow light along the tunnel. The dingy concrete walls are covered with graffiti. They look around nervously, their breath visible in the icy air. A cloaked figure swoops in and grabs Harry.
Dudley, run!
As Dudley flees, his legs are knocked from under him. An unseen force drags him along the ground. A second skeletal figure floats close above his face. The Dementor hovers in front of Harry, forcing him against the wall with its bony fingers around his throat, attempting to suck out his life. Harry struggles desperately as a faint vapour is drawn from his face. The second Dementor floats above Dudley, sucking vapour from him. Harry pulls out his wand and strikes his attacker. The Dementor releases him. Harry falls heavily, dropping his wand. He grabs it as the cloaked figure swoops again.
Expecto Patronum!
A powerful bright light hurls his attacker away. Dudley lies helpless beneath the other Dementor. Harry uses his wand to hurl the dazzling light towards it. The creature flies from the underpass. Traffic roars past on the road above. Harry runs to Dudley, who is semi-conscious and gasping for breath. An elderly woman wearing a plastic Mac and rain hat enters the tunnel, pulling a shopping trolley.
Mrs. Fig!
Harry tries to hide his wand. The old woman stops.
Don't put away your wand, Harry. They might come back.
They walk home.
Dementors and little whinging. Whatever next? The whole world's gone topsy-turvy.
I don't understand. How do you know about...
Dumbledore asked me to keep an eye on you.
Dumbledore asked you? You know Dumbledore?
Uh-huh. After you know who killed that poor Diggory boy last year, did you expect him to let you go wandering around on your own? Good Lord, boy. They told me you were intelligent. Now, get inside and stay there. Expect someone will be in touch soon. Whatever happens, don't leave the house.
Harry half carries the stupefied Dudley to number 4 Privet Drive. Aunt Petunia is watching television.
It is hot. That's right, hot everywhere. There's sweat, there's stifling. Sun is just burning
Dickens.
Down everyone. We don't even have air
conditioning. Is that you?
Harry staggers in with Dudley.
Well, of course.
Dudley, Vernon, come quick. We're going to have to take him to hospital.
Who did this to you, boy?
About to be sick, Dudley points weakly at Harry.
Happy, are we, now? Eh? You've finally done it. You've finally driven him loopy.
Don't say that.
Well, just look at him, Petunia. Our boy has gone yumpy. I've reached my limit, you hear? This is the last I'm going to take of you and your nonsense.
An owl hits the ceiling and falls in a flurry of feathers. A letter marked confidential floats in the air. The owl flies off. The envelope speaks.
Dear Mr. Potter, the Ministry has received intelligence that at 6:23 this evening, you performed the Patronus charm in the presence of a muggle as a clear violation of the decree for the reasonable restriction of underage sorcery. You are hereby expelled from Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Hoping you are well, Mathilda Hopkirk.
Uncle Vernon smirks with glee.
Justice.
Under cover of darkness, the Dursleys smuggle Dudley into the car with a blanket over his head. Mrs. Fig watches from her window opposite. Mrs. Fig waves. Uncle Vernon mouths he's not very well. In his bedroom, Harry thumps the wardrobe in anger and frustration. A photograph standing beside his owl's cage falls onto the carpet. Harry picks it up.
Sorry, Hedwig.
He sits on his bed and looks at his parents dancing together in the moving photograph. Harry places it carefully on his bedside table, beside a half-eaten plate of food. The screen fades to black. Cedric's face looms out of the darkness, sweating with fear. Harry relives his terror as a flash of green light engulfs Cedric, who falls, lifeless. Voldemort's blank eyes stare out from his bony, snake-like skull. Harry jerks awake, a streak of moonlight across his pillow. He lies as if in a trance, his lips moving. He turns his head as he hears a scraping sound. Still fully dressed, Harry reaches for his glasses and puts them on. He looks towards the door. The key is slowly turning in the lock. Harry grabs his wand and sits up. The key continues to turn. The key falls to the floor. With a dazzling flash, the door flies open.
Harry, clean these muggles.
Tonks, for God's sake.
Lit by a wand, five people stand in the doorway. Harry recognises one of them.
Professor Moody, what are you doing here?
Rescuing you, of course.
Moody leads them all outside.
Where are we going? The letter said I've been expelled from Hogwarts.
Oh, you haven't been. Not yet. Kingsley, you take point.
But the letter said...
Dumbledore has persuaded the minister to suspend your expulsion pending a formal hearing.
A hearing?
Uh-huh.
Don't worry, Harry. We'll explain everything when we get back to headquarters.
Shh! Not hearing, Nymphadora.
Don't call me Nymphadora.
Moody taps his stick. A broomstick flies into each person's hand.
Stay in formation, everyone. Don't break ranks if one of us is killed.
Mrs. Fig watches as they soar away high above Privet Drive. The twinkling lights of central London are spread out below. Kingsley, a wizard in African robes, flies in front, following the line of the River Thames as it winds through the city. They fly low, cloaks flying, like a flight of huge bats skimming the surface of the shimmering water. They swoop past HMS Belfast and head upriver towards Westminster. Harry flies close beside Nymphadora Tonks. A pleasure boat on a nighttime cruise heads straight towards them. Nymphadora steers to the right of it, Harry to the left. They pass the floodlit Houses of Parliament, reflected in the water like a huge ocean liner. A refuse lorry passes a garden in the middle of a London square. Moody leads them from the garden into the street.
Come on.
Facing a terrace of Georgian houses, he strikes the pavement. One of the houses in front of them moves to the left. Harry's jaw drops as an extra house slides into the space. Its windows and balconies slot into position,